Today our reading is from John 17, verse 13 to 19. So please find it in the blue Bibles on page 1085. So that's page 1085. Now, I have a challenge for you. I want to listen out. I want you to listen out for the words, and world as you listen to this reading, okay? So you need to listen out, boys and girls, for the words, and world, okay? Okay, reading is John 17, verse 13 to 19. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your words, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified.
We started off with a question which we talked to the person next to us about. And the question was, when do you find it hard to stand out for Jesus? And that was a really good question. And I don't know whether you had a chance to answer that question in your groups, but Johnny is going to run around. And if you're prepared to stick up a paw and say, here's where I find it hard to stand out for Jesus, that'd be lovely, and it really encouraged us all. So, Johnny, do you want to run around? If you want to stick up your hand, say, here's what we said in our little group. So I don't know whether anyone is willing to do that. It'd be really lovely because we can kind of encourage one another as we share the challenge of standing out for Jesus. Anyone want to kind of share that to us? Yep, over there. Great. In the middle.
It's quite hard in the workplace, and I think, you know, when you're people are going through a lot of things, you almost have to come alongside and get to know them better as people. And then out in the community, it's often your behaviour in holding down a job conscientiously and, being real.
Thank you. In the workplace, very challenging. Brilliant. Thanks, Mark, for sharing that with us. Anyone else want to share where it's hard to stand out? Oh, there's one hand at the back here, Johnny, up on the windowsill.
At school.
Yeah, brilliant. Thanks, Nia. Fantastic. Can be very challenging at school to stand out for Jesus. Anyone else? Somewhere at a time when it's hard. There's a hand somewhere over there. Okay, on the other side, Johnny. The other window. Oh, somewhere.
I was just going to say with family, especially if they're religion. If they're religious, you know.
Yeah, thank you. Really good. And there's one hand, I think, on the other side. Okay, you got it.
Can you get distracted by everything that other people are doing?
Ah, brilliant. Thanks. No, really good answers. And I hope that as we get into God's word today, we will understand a bit more about what it means to stand out for Jesus. Now would be a really good time to grab a Bible. And we've got these turquoise church Bibles. I know lots of you have got phones and you like to look at the Bible there, but maybe you could grab a Bible on page 1085. And the big number 17, that's the chapter, and little number 13 to 19. And that's the little passage which we're looking at this morning. The grown-ups and young people have been studying it the last few weeks, and we're all going to learn a bit about it today. But before we do that, I'd like you to meet a friend of mine and find out how he stands out for Jesus. Oh, hello, look at you.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, Chameleon Craig. Chameleon Craig, we've been thinking about the question, why do we, or when do we find it hard to stand out for Jesus?
Oh yeah, it is hard. I find it's just a lot easier to blend in.
What do you mean, blend in?
Well, I'm like the only child in my whole class who trusts Jesus. So it's best if I just do what my friends do. There are so many of them after all.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, and I try to watch the same TV, even if my parents have said no. I make sure I'm in on all the jokes, even if they are rude. For a while, I didn't swear, but I was laughed at, so I join in now.
Well, that doesn't really sound like you're living the way Jesus wants you to live, Craig.
Well, you don't know how hard it is. I want to stay cool. I want to know what the joke is, and it's a lot easier to just act like my friends.
Oh, I can see why you're called Chameleon Craig now, because you've just blended in with the world around you.
Okay, bye.
Well, that doesn't really sound like standing out for Jesus, does it? I wonder, is there another way to stand out for Jesus?
Yoo-hoo!
Who said that?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Over here.
Where were you?
Up here.
Ah! Hello, you up there. Oh, it's Withdrawn Wilma. Where have you been all this time?
I've been keeping out of the way a little bit.
Wilma, when do you find it hard to stand out for Jesus?
Oh, I used to find it so hard, but not anymore.
Okay, so what's your secret?
Well, I keep away from everyone who doesn't know Jesus. Withdrawn Wilma is the name, and Withdrawn Wilma is the game.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah, I make sure I only see my Christian friends at the weekend and in the evenings. I try to avoid times where I'll be with people who don't follow Jesus. I keep out of all that fuss. I stay away from tricky situations. I quit living away up on this cloud, near to heaven. It's much easier if you don't have any friends who don't know Jesus or know anyone outside church. Standing out is so easy.
Okay, well, bye, Withdrawn Wilma. Maybe see you a bit later on. Well, boys and girls and dads and mums and friends, we're here thinking about standing out for Jesus. So where do you find it hard to stand out for Jesus? We're looking in our Bibles at John 17. Page 1085, and the grown-ups and the young people have been looking at this over the last few weeks. John 17 is an amazing prayer, maybe the greatest prayer ever prayed. I don't know whether you are taught to pray to our Father in heaven. Jesus taught us to pray, but you know, he prayed to his Father in heaven. And so this chapter is an amazing chapter because we listen in on God talking to God about us. I mean, that's so cool, isn't it? And we're studying today just these few verses, verse 13, little number 13 to little number 19. And if you've not read this part of the Bible, do have a read of it when you get home. I think you'll be really, really encouraged by it as you do. In our passage today, Jesus is carrying on praying for his disciples. And he's particularly praying for his 11 disciples who are in the room around him. But there are some really important issues that he's going to be talking about if we're going to be disciples of Jesus too. Now, before we get into the passage, what does it mean to be a disciple? What is a disciple? Does anyone know what a disciple is? Could someone help me? Johnny, maybe you've got the run-around mic. Could someone, what is a disciple? If you know what it is, stick up a hand and what is a disciple? Okay, Joy up the side, I think. What is a disciple?
Someone who follows Jesus.
Someone who follows Jesus. Brilliant answer. The children's work and the Masawi family are doing the right thing, which is great. So what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? That's the question we're going to try to dig into in our passage today. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? We're going to learn two things from our passage. And here's our first lesson. Following Jesus means being in the world and not of the world. Let me say it again. Being a follower of Jesus means being in the world and not of the world. Now, I'd love us all to say that together if we can. Okay? After three. One, two, three. Following Jesus means being in the world and not of the world. Now, grab your Bibles and verse 13, little number 13, is the verse marker. And that's where we're going to start. Jesus is speaking to his Father. I am coming to you now. But I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. That's amazing. He's praying that his disciples would be full of his joy in their life. Now, I want to have joy in my life as I follow Jesus. I don't know about you. So let's see where and how we get this joy in our lives. Jesus is saying he knows he's going back to his Father, but he's praying for them while he is still in the world. But he doesn't belong in the world. That's the point. The world is not Jesus' true home. This is his temporary residence while he stayed for a while, but he's gone back to his home now with the Father in heaven. And Jesus is saying what is true of Jesus is true of Jesus' followers as well. So check out verse 14. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. Now, when Jesus came into the world all those years ago, here's a question. Did people love Jesus? Did the world love Jesus when Jesus was in the world? Did the world love Jesus when Jesus was in the world? No. Some people did, but the vast majority of people did not love Jesus. In fact, they hated Jesus. And Jesus is saying what is true of Jesus is true of Jesus' followers. The world has hated them, Jesus says. They are not of the world any more than I am of the world. I just think that is an incredible verse. Like Jesus, you know, he's not of the world. He came from another place. And he's saying, so too, my disciples don't belong in this world too. This shouldn't be their ultimate home. He says the same thing in verse 16. So grab your Bibles again. Have a look down. Little number 16 towards the end of our passage. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. So following Jesus means being in the world and not of the world. It's so easy to get this wrong. It's so easy to get this wrong. I've been thinking about this. What does it mean to be of the world? I think to be of the world means to love what the world loves, what people in the wider culture love. It means to speak as the world speaks. It means to laugh at the same things that the world laughs at. It means to do the same things that the world does. It means to think the same way that the world thinks. And that was the problem with Chameleon Craig, wasn't it? Chameleon Craig, he is in the world, which is good. He's got friends who don't know Jesus. Tick. But he was of the world as well. He was living exactly like his friends, saying, doing, laughing, thinking the same thing as everyone else. Chameleon Craig. But that's not the only way of getting it wrong. Let's listen to Jesus again in verse 15. Have a look down in our Bibles, little number 15. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one in the world. Or jump down to verse 18. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. So just as Jesus came into the world to save the world, so he has sent his followers into the world so that we might save the world through our message. And so following Jesus means being in the world and not of the world. Withdrawn Wilma isn't of the world, which is good. She's not thinking the way the world thinks. She's not doing the same things the world does. She's not speaking the same way, laughing at the same things, loving the same things. No, she's not doing any of that because she's not in the world. She's just like up there, miles away from the world. She spends all her time away from people who know and love Jesus. She's in a bubble of her own. Sometimes people talk about a holy huddle. Ever heard of that phrase? A holy huddle. Where, you know, she doesn't know the names of her neighbours on her street or other people on her course. She only spends time with other Christians day and night. Maybe at CU or at church group or Christian school friends. She never has to work hard to build relationships with people outside of church community. Whether in a sports club or in an orchestra or a hobby group or a reading group, she just has no interest in connecting with people who don't know Jesus. She might feel safe and secure on the second cloud on the right, but she is not standing out for Jesus. All the while, there are people all over the place around her who don't know Jesus, who don't know of Jesus' love, of his grace, of him dying on the cross. They don't understand Jesus. They've never seen a real Christian, but they're not going to see it. Wilma, because she's miles away. Here's a question. Which of these two characters, Craig, Chameleon, Withdrawn Wilma, do you feel most like, or at least tempted to be a little bit like? I guess sometimes we kind of flip between the two, but it may be that there's one of those two characters is particularly more where you're at. If you dare, I'd love it if you could talk to the person next to you and just say, this is where I sense the pull here, I sense the pull there. It may be that you don't feel comfortable doing that, that's fine, but 30 seconds, just to maybe turn to someone next to you and just share where you feel that pull. Okay, we're just going to wrap up. Thanks for sharing that with a friend. You know, maybe when we head home, you can maybe remember to pray for the person you're sitting next to. Just pray that God will help them to not kind of fall into those caricatures. But Jesus is praying that we wouldn't be like Chameleon Craig or Withdrawn Wilma, but instead he wants us to be daring disciples who are in the world, but not of the world. They truly stand out for Jesus in a way that people can see and hear and get to know. They know you, who you are, what you do, what you love. But you're different and you're distinct and you shine out because you know Jesus and he has changed your life around. We have seen that Jesus' plan for his disciples and for anyone who's following him today is that we should be in the world, but not of the world. But to be in the world and not of the world is really tricky. It's much easier to be in the world and of the world, like Chameleon Craig. Or it's similarly very easy to be not in the world and not of the world, like Withdrawn Wilma. But to be in the world, but not of the world, like the daring disciples that Jesus wants us to be, can be really, really hard. But that's where Jesus' prayer comes in. And it's our second point. So if you've closed your Bibles, then open up to 1085. And that's where we are again. 1085. And we are going to see, we've already seen, following Jesus means being in the world and not of the world. Secondly, following Jesus means being set apart by God's word. Following Jesus means being set apart by God's word. Let's say that all together after three. One, two, three. Following Jesus means being set apart by God's word. Now, there's some tricky language, so we're going to have to think hard as we listen to what God's saying to us. So look down at little number 16, okay? Everyone down to verse 16. They, that's the disciples he's talking about and praying for, they are not of the world, even as I am not of it. We've seen that. And then the key line, which is verse 17, the prayer of today's passage, really, here's when Jesus is praying. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. Now, the tricky word here is the word sanctify. Now, I'm not sure whether you've heard the word sanctify. Sometimes it's translated make holy. A good way of understanding the word sanctify is set apart for God's use. Set apart for God's use. Sanctify them. Set them apart for God's use. Now, I wonder how to illustrate that. A friend of mine tells the story of the sugar spoon in his house. Now, I'm not sure whether any of you take sugar in your tea and coffee. It's a dying breed, so if that's you, keep it up. It's okay. But if you do take sugar and you go round to somebody's house, chances are, if they are in the habit of doing so, they will have a sugar bowl and a sugar spoon. Okay, now you need to use the sugar spoon carefully, because the sugar spoon has a purpose, one purpose, and the purpose is to be in the bowl of sugar and to spoon it out into a cup. It's not to stir the cup. It is holy unto the sugar. It's not for the cup. It's certainly not for eating Nutella or having a yogurt after dinner. It is holy. It's been set apart, sanctified for the bowl of sugar. That's where it belongs, in the bowl of sugar. And so it goes in there, you use it, and if you dare take the sugar spoon and start stirring, there'll be consequences. So too, Jesus is saying to his Father, sanctify them. Set them apart for my use. Now, Jesus actually says something very interesting in verse 19. Have a look at verse 19, how our passage concludes. This blew my mind when I read it. He says, for them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. He's saying, I set myself apart, uniquely, holy unto the Lord, for God's use, that they may be truly sanctified. I think what he's saying is, the only way that we can be sanctified, the only way we can be set apart for God's use, holy unto God, is because, first of all, Jesus said, I'm going to be holy unto God. I'm going to do God's work uniquely for himself. Not for Jesus. He's going to do it for God. He's going to go and die on the cross and rise again and pay for our sins and give us new life and accomplish his work. And because he has set himself apart for God's use, he can now set other people. As with Jesus, so with Jesus' followers. Now the question remains, how does God set us apart for his work? And the key answer actually is in the middle of our passage in verse 17. Can anyone spot it? How does the Father set us apart for God's use? Can anyone see the answer in verse 17? And if you can, stick up a hand and a roving mic will run like a gazelle towards you. Yes, okay, right, the front row. Okay, come on.
Truth?
By the truth, thank you so much. Marvellous. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. God's word sets us apart for God's use. Now, how does that happen? Let me try and illustrate it this way. Often, thinking about how to be in the world and not of the world is a really challenging, complicated idea. Now, in our family, we like doing challenging, complicated things. And maybe I'm not sure whether you like kind of playing puzzles or games in your house. We're big fans of board games. Maybe you got some at Christmas time. And here's a board game we enjoy it, called Forbidden Island. Fun game. And sometimes you think, how on earth am I going to get through this game? No idea. It's quite complicated, quite challenging. And then you open up the game, and then inside you have the instructions for the game. And the instructions for the game do the work for you, because you've got the game. I have no idea how to work my way through the game, but you've got the instructions, the maker's instructions, who will explain to you this is how you're to do it. You don't have to do it on your own. You try and play a game without reading the instructions, you'll be stumped, you'll muck up. We've got the instructions in your hand, and even better, in your heart, and you understand it, you live it, and you work it through. Well, so you can play the game. Well, so too, in the game of life, in the challenge, the puzzle that is being in the world and not of the world. How on earth do we do that? How could we be a daring disciple? Well, we've got the instruction book. We have the Word of God. And so, at that point, I'm going to say, where are my friends? I'm going to, hey, Craig, where are you, Craig? And Wilma, I've got you something. Here we are. I'm going to give you something that will help you in life. Let me stick that out. There we are. There's a Bible. Now, listen, Craig. Hey, Wilma, what's going on up there? Yes, stick it up there. It's tough, yeah. You got it. Yes. There we are. Good stuff. Wilma's got extremely long arms. It pays. So guys, we've been learning that to follow Jesus means being set apart by God's word. So there's a Bible, and that's for you, Craig.
Thanks, Dave, but do I really need a Bible?
Yes, Craig, because God's word will help you stop being like a chameleon.
But I want to be in the world. I like being friends with people.
Well, that's great, Craig. It's really good to be in the world. It's good to have friends with people who don't know Jesus. But Jesus says we're not to be of the world.
But what on earth does that mean, Dave?
Well, Craig, let me read some Bible verses to you and see whether God's word can shape you and encourage you and set you apart. So here's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what's useful for building other people up. Which means it's saying that following Jesus means speaking in a different way to your friends at school or at work. Or in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. So when your friends are keeping a grudge and are being a bit unkind to each other, God's word says, no, you're not to be like everyone else.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and then there's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, which says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Which means saying that Jesus is saying following Jesus means admitting that mum and dad know best and to do what they say rather than what our friends say, even though they're all watching your 15 movies when you're kind of underage. No, following Jesus means saying, I'm not going to do that, I'm going to do what mum and dad say, even though that's hard for me sometimes.
Oh, I get it. But Dave, that sounds really hard.
Well, it is hard, Craig, it is, but God promises to help us. So even in our passage, Jesus prays that following Jesus would give us real joy. And you know, he went on, and in the Bible we read that he died on the cross and he rose again to forgive us and give us new life. Isn't that great, Craig?
Okay, that sounds great. Let me see how it goes. Thanks, Dave. I'm really pleased that God says Jesus is praying for me. That's great.
Oh,
bye.
Well done, Craig. We'll see you again. Okay, bye. And Wilma, hey. Hello, are you up there? Yes, you are. Good to see you. God's word challenges you as well.
But I don't need challenging. I'm not of the world.
Yeah, but you are in the world, or you should be in the world, and Jesus, well, he wants his disciples to shine out for him.
And you're going to tell me shining out for Jesus is hard if no one can see me?
That is exactly what God's word is going to say to you. And God's word is going to set you apart to be the kind of people you should be. So here's Luke 8 verse 16. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. You need people to see and to hear you if you're going to witness to Jesus.
But I don't have many friends who don't know Jesus.
Well, hey, again, let me read another part of the Bible, Luke 7, verse 34. Let's look at Jesus. People call Jesus a friend of sinners. Wow. And if Jesus, even Jesus, was a friend of sinners and a friend with people who didn't go to church, then I'm sure you can be as well.
Thanks, Dave. You've got me thinking. I think I need to join that sports club after all. I'd love to invite some of my friends to church sometime. I'm so glad God's word sets me apart to stand out for him. Let's go!
Well done, Wilma. That's great. And well done, Craig. Well, what have we seen today, friends? We have seen that following Jesus means being in the world, but not of the world. And following Jesus means being set apart by God's word. And as we read God's word, and we don't simply hear it in our heads, but we live it out in our hearts and our lives, so he changes us and increasingly sets us apart so that we can live our lives for him, shining out into this world in the dark. Now, I've got a few resources here that Joe and Johnny have given me, and I'm not sure if you're in the habit of reading the Bible regularly as a family, but we've got some things here which we wanted to flag up, and I think, can we give these away? I think we can give these away. Okay, so there's a book here called Bible Stories Every Child Should Know. If you don't have this in your family and you have any under fours in your family, you can have this as a gift. And Johnny's going to give it to you. So who would like that? There's a hand right at the back, on the right there on the bottom of the spice rack. That's lovely. Next up, Dig Into Matthew, a daily Bible study. This is if you have either 8s to 11s in your family, and whether that's you or whether that's someone in your family or a friend you know who'd like to get into Matthew. And this is a book which is coming your way if you would like it. Who would like that book? Yes, right there, halfway up the spice rack. Johnny, you've got to run, man. You're going to burn, get some, see how many steps you do today. Yeah, there we are. Okay, and then we've got some Discover notes for 11 to 13s and Engage notes for 13 to 18. So if you're out of the habit, it's already a month since the start of the new year, maybe you've kind of fallen off trying to read the Bible, you wanted to do so, these are both excellent resources. 11 to 13s, anyone fancy that? If you're 11 to 13, you can have it. Or you've got the young people in your family who might value that. 11 to 13s, there we go, coming in for over there. And then 13 to 18s, Engage. And actually, this could probably stretch up to potentially student level as well. So I'm going to rip that off because that's, yeah, there we are. Anyone? Right at the back. Yeah, great. Fab. We've seen following Jesus means being in the world and not of the world. It means being set apart by God's word. It's a great thing, friends. Maybe you're here today, you don't yet know Jesus for yourself. I'd encourage you to ask the friend who brought you along and ask them, what does it mean for you to be a follower of Jesus too? And maybe that might be something that you might consider becoming this next year. That'd be a great thing to do as well. Well, let's close our service and bow our heads, and I'm going to say a short prayer before we sing a closing hymn together. Let's pray. We praise you, Heavenly Father, for your word. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for praying for us and for all followers of yourself, that they would live in the world, not of it, but in it, shining out your truth, being sent into the world with your good news, your forgiveness, your grace. And we do pray that we would be those kind of people. We know that's a challenge, that's a bit of a puzzle often, but we thank you for your word that guides us and helps us. And we pray, please, would your word live in our lives, and would you change us and help us by your spirit as we put your word into practice. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.